Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page ad to check out our past shows or to subscribe to our program on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Welcome back to the show. So today we're going to talk about something that's going to matter to a lot of us and a lot of us that are planning for retirement that's coming up in 2026. There's going to be some changes to your IRAs and 401ks. And now these updates aren't just technical tweaks buried in the fine print. They can actually be creative opportunities to actually save more, build more, and strengthen your long-term financial picture. But here's the key. There are some new opportunities that can only help us understand the rules. And with 2026 bringing higher contribution limits, new withdrawal requirements, and a handful of adjustments tied to securing the 2.0 and inflation, there's a lot to keep track of. So one of the biggest shifts we're here to talk about today, this is a major change to catch up on. It is going to be contributions for high earners, which is something many people haven't even heard about yet before. So during today's show, we'll be referencing a Kiplinger article, Six Changes to IRAs, 401ks, and HSAs in 2026. And to help me dig into all of this, let me bring in my co-host, Jacqueline, the person who somehow manages to stay upbeat when Congress gives us more pages of legislation to interpret than anyone asked for.
Hey, I mean, you're right, though. These changes are big and they're going to catch a lot of people off guard if they're not paying attention. But Amanda, we do have to stay positive because right now it's Christmas time. And I am so excited. And, you know, Amanda, you can see I have Christmas lights up and you have a fantastic, you know, event going on this weekend with your clients and a Christmas tree and stockings at the office. And I'm excited. It's a great time.
It is. It's one of my favorite holidays.
Agreed. Absolutely. And what the good news is with all of this, like you said, there are real opportunities here. I mean, higher contribution limits and clearer guidelines can make a meaningful difference for anyone trying to build a more solid retirement plan. So, and that catch-up contribution change for high earners, I mean, that's a huge one. I think a lot of listeners are going to want to understand how it works and whether it affects them.
That's exactly right. So let's start with one of the biggest 2026 changes, and it's aimed directly at higher earners who are 50 and older. So beginning in 2026, if you are in that group and you want to make catch-up contributions to either your 401k, your 403b, or government 457 plans, those contributions can no longer be pre-tax. They now must go into the Roth side of the plan, which means they're made on an after-tax basis. Now, that's an important shift right there. So in the past, many high earners saved relied on the upfront tax deductions when making catch-up contributions. So starting in 2026, that deduction disappears for anyone who meets the income threshold. So instead, the trade-off becomes you pay taxes on that money now, but qualified withdrawals in retirement are tax-free. So the benefit moves from the front end to the back end.
Absolutely. So let's talk about who this applies to, because I'm guessing it's very specific.
That's correct. So most importantly, you have to meet both criterias here. So you're either age 50 or older, or you'll be turning 50 that year, or your FICA wages from the prior calendar year, usually box 3 on your W-2, were over $150,000 with the employee sponsoring the plan. So if your 2026 wages exceed $150,000 and you're at least 50, you won't be able to to take that deduction or that catch-up contribution anymore. That income threshold will adjust for inflation over time, but the rule itself is here to stay. And here's another important detail you have to remember. So in 2026, the catch-up limit is $8,000, up from $7,500 in 2025. So if you are subject to the high earner rule, that entire $8,000 must be designated as a Roth or after tax. There's no pre-tax option here. And that's only part of that real catch people are surprised by. So if your employee sponsors a plan, it doesn't offer that Roth feature, then high earners who fall under the rule simply won't be allowed to make catch-up contributions at all. So that's something worth checking sooner rather than later.
Well, and that's a major change, Amanda. I mean, especially for people who are counting on those pre-tax contributions in their final working years. And I imagine a lot of listeners fall right around that $150,000 mark, close enough that they're not sure whether this applies to them or not.
That's right. So, which is why this is maybe a good time to start having that conversation with your plan administrator or your financial or tax professional. If you're near that income level or already above it, you want to understand how this mandatory Roth catch-up rule can impact your 2026 savings strategy. The earlier you plan for it, the smoother that transition will be. So, all right, let's move on to the bigger change coming in 2026, which is the increased contribution limits for 401ks, 403bs, and 457 plans. We see these limits rise from time to time, but the 2026 adjustments are especially meaningful now. So anytime those ceilings go up, it gives employees more room to build longer and save long-term savings.
And that's huge for anyone who's trying to maximize those final working years, especially people planning to use catch-up contributions.
Yes. So when those limits rise, it lets people put more income into tax advantage accounts, which can boost their long-term compound growth. And depending on how they structure contributions, they may also get immediate tax benefits.
And the timing matters too. I mean, we keep hearing concerns about the Social Security Trust Fund and whether benefits could shift in the future.
That's part of why these higher limits are so, so important. So some experts suggest that people may need more personal savings to help offset any potential reduction later on. One estimate from the article suggests that someone might need about $138,000 in additional savings just to create the same income if Social Security is reduced using the 4% withdrawal rule.
Wow. I mean, that really puts the whole contribution increase into perspective.
It really does. And since you're talking about numbers, here's what 2026 looks like. So employee contributions under age 50, that's $24,500, up from $23,500. Any catch-up contributions for age 50 plus is $8,000. So that's up from $7,500. So total for age 50 plus is $32,500. And if you're looking at super catch-up for ages 60 to 63, that's still going to be at $11,250. So total for ages 60 and 63, total contribution catch-ups are going to be up to $35,750.
Wow. I mean, but that's right. And that age 60 to 63, the super catch-up window, is part of the Secure 2.0. It's a temporary bump to help people nearing retirement save more.
And for anyone who hasn't reviewed their contribution strategy lately, this is a great time to do so. These changes can give people real opportunity to strengthen their retirement plan heading into 2026. All right, so let's shift over to IRAs, because traditional and Roth IRAs are also seeing some important updates for 2026. Now, one thing that trips people up here are that some income rules around traditional IRAs, not for contributions, but for deducting those contributions. There's no income limit to putting money into a traditional IRA, but the ability to deduct that contribution depends on your income and whether you or your spouse is covered by a workplace retirement plan.
Right. And that's where people sometimes get confused, because it's not just about your coverage. Your spouse's coverage can affect your deduction too.
That's correct. So if you personally are not covered by a retirement plan at work and your spouse is, you can still take that deduction, but your joint income determines whether you get the full deduction, a partial one, or none at all. And here's a simple version. If neither one of you is covered by a workplace plan, you can take the full deduction up to the annual limit, no matter what your modified adjusted gross income, or MIGA, happens to be.
So let's talk about numbers here, because that's what everyone really wants to know.
So for 2026, the contribution limits look like this. So for your traditional or Roth IRA contributions under the age of 50, it is going to be $7,500, up from $7,000 in 2025. Any catch-up contributions for age 50 plus is going to be $1,100, up from $1,000 in 2025. So now the phase-out ranges for deductions for traditional IRA contributions depend on your filing status and whether you're covered by a workplace plan. If you are covered by a plan at work, the 2026 phase outs are single or head of household, full deductions at $81,000 or less, partial from $81,001 to $91,000. No deduction at all is going to be at $91,001 or more. If you're married filing jointly, your full deduction is going to be at $129,000 or less. A partial deduction is going to be from $129,000 to $149,000. No deduction at all is going to be $149,000 or more. If you are married filing separately, your full deduction is below $10,000 and no deduction at all is $10,000 or above.
Wow. Well, thanks for laying that out. That can get very confusing. And if only one spouse is covered by a workplace plan, that opens up a different set of income thresholds, right, Amanda?
Yes. And in that case, for married couples filing jointly, the phase out ranges are a little bit higher. So full deduction is going to be at $242,000 or less. Partial deduction are going to be from $242,000 to $252,000. And no deduction at all is going to be $252,000 or more. All of those numbers are up from the 2025 limits.
Wow. And Roth IRAs still have their own separate income rules. As you've told us before, those don't affect deductions. They determine whether you can contribute at all.
That's right. So for 2026, the Roth IRA income phase out ranges look like this. So if you're single or head of household, it begins at $153,000 and ends at $168,000. If you're married filing joint, it begins at $242,000 and ends at $252,000. And if you're married filing separately, the phase out is actually below $10,000, the same as the previous year.
Okay, Amanda. So the bottom line here is that IRAs are becoming a little more flexible in terms of contribution amounts, but people really need to understand where their income fits into these deduction and eligibility rules.
I agree. And with all those adjustments happening in 2026, it is a great time to reevaluate your IRA strategy, especially if your income is near one of those phase out ranges that we just spoke about. So now that we've talked about all the personal retirement accounts like IRAs, let's shift on to something just as important, which is retirement plans for small business owners or the self-employed. The 2026 changes actually offer some of the biggest opportunities for them all. So when contribution limits rise for plans like SEP IRAs, solo 401ks, or simple IRAs, that's a powerful development. It means business owners can set aside more money in tax advantage accounts, not just for themselves, but also for the employees.
Well, and that sounds like a big deal, because small business owners don't always get the same built-in benefits that employees at larger companies get. So when these limits increase, it really does give them more room to build more security.
I think that is well said, Jacqueline. And there's another side to this. So higher contribution ceilings can help business owners maximize deductions and make their benefit packages more competitive. That matters when you're trying to attract and retain good talent. So let's break down some of those new numbers for 2026.
All right, so let's start with simple IRAs and simple 401ks.
For those plans, the 2026 limits look like this. Employee contribution limits are going to be at $17,000, which is $500 higher than 2025. Any catch-up contributions for ages 50 to 59 and 64 plus is going to be $4,000, also up from $500. And any super catch-ups for ages 60 to 63 is $5,250, which actually is going to stay the same from 2025. Now, let's look at the SEP IRAs. Any maximum annual contribution is going to be $72,000 in 2026. This is going to be up $2,000 from 2025. So any annual contribution limits are going to be $360,000, which is up almost $10,000 from 2025. And importantly, SEP IRAs do not allow super catch-up contributions, unlike some other plans.
Okay, and solo 401ks are always popular with self-employed listeners. So what's changing there?
So solo 401ks see several key updates in 2026. So here's a breakdown by age group. So employee contribution limits under the age of 50 are going to be at $24,500. Ages 50 to 59 and 64 plus is $32,500, which includes an $8,000 catch-up. And ages 60 to 63 is going to be at $35,750, which also includes $11,250 super catch-up. So, and if we're talking about employee contributions, it is up to 25% of compensation for all age groups. So if we're breaking it down totally by combined limits, employee and employer, under the age of 50, you're at $72,000. Ages 50 to 59 and 64 plus, you're at $80,000. And ages 60 to 63, you're at $83,250. And there's one more important detail here. In a solo 401k, you can contribute as both the employee and the employer. As the employer, your profit sharing contribution can be up to 75% of the compensation after Social Security and Medicare taxes. And the overall compensation cap for 2026 is $360,000.
Wow, and that's a lot of opportunities, especially for self-employed people who want to make the most of their high earning years. These plans really do give them a chance to build a strong retirement foundation.
Absolutely. And with these higher limits, 2026 can be a great year for business owners to reevaluate their retirement savings strategy and make sure they're using the opportunities available to them.
So before we keep going with today's conversation, Amanda, can you please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation with you and your team to ask questions or to get more information on this?
Certainly. You could just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling consultation only takes a few minutes and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
All right. Well, thank you. Now let's just get back into today's topic.
All right. Let's take a quick look at one of the simpler but still important changes in 2026. And this one might actually show up right in your mailbox. So starting in 2026, defined contribution plans like 401ks must send participants at least one paper statement each year, unless you specifically chose to receive everything electronically.
So Amanda, even people who have been strictly digital up until now, you know, might suddenly see an envelope from the retirement plan provider?
Yep, unless you're opting out of it, but you'll always get at least one paper statement annually. And for defined benefit plans like traditional pension style plans, the requirement is a little bit different. Those plans have to provide a paper statement at least once every 3 years.
Okay, I mean, it's a small change, but it does shift the experience back towards something more tangible. For some people, having that physical reminder can be really helpful in keeping track of their retirement progress.
Bingo. And that's also a good cue to review your communication preferences. If you prefer everything digital, it's worth checking to make sure that you've already made that election before 2026 rolls around. Also, let's highlight something that plays a big role both before and after retirement: healthcare savings plans, or HSAs. Healthcare can be one of the biggest and toughest costs to manage, especially later in life, and HSAs are one of the most tax-advantaged ways to prepare for those expenses. So if you're enrolled in a qualified high-deduction health plan, you can contribute to an HSA before you sign up for Medicare. What makes HSAs so powerful is a triple tax benefit. Your contributions go in pre-tax, or after-tax contributions go in after tax. The growth is still tax-free, and withdrawals are tax-free as long as you use them for qualified medical expenses.
And after age 65, the rules shift a little bit, right?
They do. So after 65, you can still withdraw HSA funds from non-medical reasons without a penalty. The withdrawals are just taxed as ordinary income, which is similar to how a traditional IRA works. But if you use the funds for qualified medical expenses, they actually remain completely tax-free. Now, to even have an HSA, your healthcare plan has to meet certain criterias. That's where things like contributing limits, minimizing deductions, and maximizing out-of-pocket amounts can still play a big role here.
Okay, and catch-up contributions work a bit differently with HSAs too.
You're on your A game today, Jacqueline. So if you're age 55 or older by the end of the tax year and you're not enrolled in Medicare, you can contribute an additional $1,000 as a catch-up. And if both spouses are 55 or older and not enrolled in Medicare, each person can use that catch-up limit. They just have to make sure that those contributions are going into a separate HSA account. Now, let's walk through the official 2026 numbers for HSA qualified high deductible health care plans. So self-care only, the maximum HSA contributions are going to be at $4,400. The minimum annual deduction is going to be $1,700. And the maximum out-of-pocket limit is going to be $8,500. So for family coverage, the maximum HSA contribution limit is going to be at $8,750. The minimum annual deduction is going to be at $3,400, and the maximum out-of-pocket limit is going to be $17,000. And again, that catch-up contribution for individuals age 55 and older is going to be $1,000.
Okay, well, those are pretty important figures, especially for people trying to decide whether a high-deductible plan is a good fit. HSAs can be incredibly valuable, but only if the plan itself meets those eligibility rules.
You got it. And here's a helpful tip just to keep in mind. You can use those HSA funds tax-free for Medicare Part B and Part D premiums as well. So as when you're paying your co-pays, your deductibles, or co-insurance, just keep in mind that Medigap premiums don't qualify. Those withdrawals would be taxable as income.
You know, Amanda, after walking through all these changes from catch-up rules to IRA limits to HSA details, it really shows just how complicated retirement planning can truly be. These aren't small tweaks. They're the kind of shifts that can change how people save, how they invest, and better yet, how they prepare for the long term.
And while most of these updates are positive, including higher limits, more opportunities, more flexibility, they can all also create a lot of confusion. That's where working with a financial services professional can make a huge difference. A lot of people don't realize how much strategy actually goes into choosing the right account, the right contribution level, or even the right timing.
Right. I mean, these are all different variables because it's not just a save more and hope for the best. It's about understanding what applies to you personally. Things like your age, your income, your workplace plan, and even your family situation.
That's right. So a financial services professional can look at your entire picture and help you understand which of these 2026 changes actually impact you. So, for example, whether the Roth catch-up rule applies, whether you're near one of the IRA phase out ranges or whether a high deductible plan makes sense based on your health needs.
And I imagine the guidance becomes even more valuable for business owners and the self-employed.
Definitely. So those plans have more moving parts and the contribution limits are higher. So the stakes are higher as well. So having someone walk you through those options can help you take full advantage of what's available, avoid mistakes, and stay aligned with your long-term financial goals.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, there's a lot to unpack in this show, and this has been an incredible show so far. So anything else before we conclude today, Amanda?
If you have any questions about your retirement and your financial strategy, visit my website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net or call my office at 919-342-7715. We'd love to help you protect your savings and feel confident about the road ahead.
Well, perfect. All right, Amanda. Well, listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of Money Mastery with our host, Amanda Mangum.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.